Welcome to the Tom and Barry Show, where we love the old Big Eight, but we appreciate the madness of 21st century football college-wise. I'm Barry Trammell, Tulsa World. He's Tom Shattell of the Omaha World Herald, and we are, oh, here's how old we are, Tom. We're old enough to remember when college football was not run by a bunch of crazy people. Last week, you tell me on this very show, Huskers are a little apprehensive, a little uneasy, because what if James Franklin gets fired? Matt Rhule might be a prime candidate to go back to his alma mater. The Huskers love Matt Rhule. The Huskers ought to love Matt Rhule, but Matt Rhule is a Nittany through and through. I chatted with you about it while all the time my mind was going, Tom, you're nuts. I mean, the guy's just lost. He was ranked number three, what was it, 8 days ago, ten, not 10 days ago. Today, you are right. He's out of a job. The Nittanys fire James Franklin. Two things. One, let's talk about Matt Rhule. Great, great Nittany. Loved, grew up partly in State College. Wonderful football coach. Does Nebraska really have to worry that they could lose Matt Rhule to Penn State?
Absolutely. I mean, I can't say that for sure because we don't know what Penn State's going to do. I mean, he's the knee-jerk candidate. He's like first or second on the list because he's from Penn State. Now he's 5-1 this year, but as a lot of Penn State fans, the reaction I'm seeing is they don't want Rhule because he's 0-11 against top 10 teams. He said, we'd just be hiring another James Franklin, which
They're a little accustomed
a
to
lot
that
of programs would
already.
probably take,
Who do
but
they want? Who's Penn State want?
I don't know. I don't know, but I'm after today, I'm not sure who Nebraska fans want. Matt Rhule had his press conference on Monday, and you understand that, like most coaches who are control freaks and attention to detail, and he knew he was going to be asked that question, and so he had all night last night to think about his answer and how he was going to address it, and he gave a little love to Penn State, and he gave some love to Nebraska, and I love it here. But then he said, well, my wife is in charge of where we live, and which isn't true. And so,
Well,
I mean,
where's
maybe
his
it's
wife from? I
true,
don't know
but
anything
I
about
mean, in
Mrs.
this
Rule.
case, I mean, it's just, but then he said, I love it here, but as long as they can do certain things, and well, what I keep taking the necessary steps that we need to take. And we said, well, what are those steps? And he goes, college football at the high level now is a $30 to $40 million roster, and we need to be up with that. And so basically saying he needs more money for players if he's going to stay. So you remember the Osborne days, and Nebraska was never about money. It was about taking, walk-ons and good players and making them great. Nebraska always did more with less. Now, certainly they had All-Americans over the years who were very talented, but the point is that throwing money around is not a trait of what made Nebraska great, the state and the school. And the school's in financial dire right now. They're dire straits. They're having to cut a lot of things, and I don't have to tell you about the farmers right now with the economy. I mean, it's in the tariffs and stuff. It's everybody's hurting a little bit. So, he's asking for more money today, and it just didn't come off well, I don't think. And I mean, Barry, to me, the fascinating, he may have an offer, or maybe he's just trying to get leverage, and he knows he's going to come back, or he's going to stay, and he's trying to get stuff for that. But boy, it's Nebraska, we're not very good at this because nobody ever leaves Nebraska. It's just like Oklahoma when Lincoln Riley was probably the first coach since Chuck Fairbanks to leave Oklahoma.
Has Nebraska had a co Nebraska hadn't had a coach leave.
Not since Bob Devaney. Nope.
Well, I mean, he retired. I mean,
Yeah.
he
I
just
mean,
retired. I mean, we'll allow you to retire in the good state of Nebraska.
well, but I
Well, I mean,
mean,
literally, when's the last time? I hadn't even thought of that, Tom. When's the last Cornhusker coach?
there's a guy named Pete Elliott who
I
coached
remember
for
Pete
20
Elliott.
years.
He was on Bud Wilkinson's staff. Did he go to Illinois
1950s.
or
Yeah, he was
Cal?
one. He coached 1 year here,
Yeah.
1957, and then he went to Cal.
Cal, that's right. Yeah, he was a Bud Wilkinson guy.
Yeah,
Peter,
but
that's crazy, Tom. That's just crazy.
that's
Man.
and I tell you that's why big reason why a lot of the Sooners were mad at Lincoln Riley still are.
Yeah.
You don't leave Oklahoma, and you don't for there's no better jobs than Oklahoma. That's how Nebraska can feel about their thing. So this is a weird situation right now. But again, I just can't help but look down the road in the next month. Say Rhule is high on their list and they're going to hire him, which probably wouldn't happen till the end of the year. How are they going to feel if Nebraska goes out to UCLA and loses, which looks like it probably could happen right now? Penn State just fired a guy who lost to UCLA because they lost to UCLA. Well, what happens if Nebraska goes to Happy Valley in November? What happens if they
Oh
lose
my
that
goodness.
game?
Hey,
How are they
this
going
is
to feel?
the
How
rest
are
of
they going to
this
feel
Husker
about
season is dripping with intrigue.
how are they going to feel about Matt Rhule if he loses to the interim coach?
Oh man.
And
The seriously, the back half of the Nebraska schedule is just unbelievable. I mean, UCLA is going to have a profound effect on Penn State firing a coach and Penn State hiring a coach. So, oh man. Well, that is cool. That is cool. It's just.
Barry, also there's just something about Nebraska fans expect you to be loyal, and
Yeah, they
anybody who
do.
won't
Because they are.
they yeah and so anybody that won't be as loyal as they are, and right now he's kind of toeing both lines, and they understand this is alma mater, but however this if he does stay, some people are going to look at him differently. They just are. I can't help it.
Yeah. Well, it's wild. We live in a different time. I think we're up to eight interim coaches in 1A, and that's not all power conference, but a couple of schools that are fairly prominent even on the mid-major level. So
Well,
it's just I actually one of those goobers who thought the NIL explosion, the paying the players, was going to bring some fiscal sanity to the sport. People would realize we can't waste all this money firing coaches and paying big buyouts or signing coaches to these big buyouts. Save our money for rush-ins and quarterbacks. That's how games are won. And what's happening? They're just firing coaches like mad since September 13th. More to come. Billy Napier, Hugh Freeze. No telling who else is going to get it. I mean, I was telling you off air. Literally 4 or 5 weeks ago, like before Oklahoma played Michigan, Brent Venables on a hot seat. And then last week in Red River, the Vegas odds made it more likely that Steve Sarkisian, who Texas was willing to build a statue for in the last year or so, was more likely to be fired than Brent Venables. Well, then we saw Texas whack Oklahoma, and all of a sudden you go back to thinking, oh, Brent could lose a lot of games as Sarkisian's going to win a bunch. So it just everything changes so fast and dramatic. I mean, I don't know. Heck, the third best team in the Big Ten might be UCLA right now. The Bruins can't be beaten. They go everywhere and knock off people. So it's just nuts. Are we going to see any fiscal sanity, or is it just going to keep getting worse, you think?
Well, there's nobody in charge, and that includes a lot of these presidents at schools that allow this to happen. I wrote last week. I didn't think Penn State was job was going to be open because they couldn't afford to pay $49 million to a coach, and you want to bet they sure did, but I didn't think that they'd lose to Northwestern either, and they almost like. He kind of forced their hand, although can't you just have a year off and let the guy come back? And I think the problem is he'd been there too long, and there's a saying that coaches sometimes stay too long, and that's why a lot of these guys leave.
Well, let me ask you this. You're a Big Ten guy now. I'm not trying to insult you, but you're a Big Ten guy.
Thank you.
From afar, I've never been around James Franklin. I don't think I've never covered one of his games, I'm pretty sure. Not Vanderbilt, not Penn State. So never covered one of his games, never been around him live, just seen him on television. He looks like a jerk. He acts like a jerk. Maybe he's not. If he's not, I apologize. But that's the way he comes across. And frankly, my opinion from people who just see him on television, see him through the media, that's the predominant opinion. He's a
Yeah.
jerk. When a guy gets fired this quick, number three in the nation, now 16 days ago, right? Number three in the nation,
Yeah.
and then gets fired, it seems to me that maybe Penn State wasn't too fond of the guy either.
Yeah, that's a
Certainly
I
didn't get
much
he
yeah.
didn't get much latitude to lose. Maybe they were a little bit tired of him. Like
I think
Mike
so.
Gundy at the core,
Yeah.
two or three times in this decade when it was perfectly justifiable for Oklahoma State University to fire the guy. And
Yeah.
they went to the mat and just didn't do it, and then felt like they had to.
I don't
Penn
really
State,
know.
first chance they had, they fired the guy.
Yeah, I was never around him much. I know the columnist at the Philadelphia Inquirer wrote that Franklin's arrogance was what did him in, and but yet I've seen case after case on Twitter and other places where these people have come forward to talk about the generous things he did and what a he would when different Penn State writers have been laid off or lost their jobs, he would call the next day to make sure they were okay and ask if he could do anything, and so. He's a guy with two sides, but the bottom line of college football is always, are you winning? Are you winning enough? And what have you done lately? And he went to the playoff last year. He won the Big Ten 9 years ago, so it's been a while. But it's hard to win the Big Ten.
It's hard. It
Hard
is
to win the
hard.
SEC,
Harder than
but.
ever. And he's, like you said, he's in the dang semifinals last year.
Yeah, he came down. He came like within a drive of beating Notre Dame in the Orange Bowl, and I think that probably would have been hard to fire him if he got in the championship game. But yeah, 3 weeks ago we were watching him against Oregon,
Had a chance to win in overtime. I to
and my
me,
yeah.
just the sudden, just the quick turnarounds. It's just lunacy. And frankly, college football keeps saying, we say it, the media, insiders in the college game say it and show it that, hey, it's becoming more and more like the NFL. In this regard, it's not. In this regard, in the NFL, except maybe in one case and maybe not, there is no hero worship of coaches. I
Right.
mean, the Patriots fired Bill Belichick,
Right.
so just about anything, anybody is nobody's immune, but they're not building them up and then paying off these unbelievable contracts. That's not happening. These guys, is it any more complicated than this? In the NFL, when guys spend a lot of money to pay off coaches or anything, they're spending their own money.
Well, there was no reason to give James Franklin a 10-year deal in 2021 because he hadn't done anything to really deserve this giant bonus with the 10-year extension. He hadn't really, I mean, he'd been done well, but that's the kind of thing that you get when you win a national championship. And so I'm waiting for some of these finance majors at these schools to step in and say, okay, here's how we're going to do the contract. We will give you money on the front end, but on the back end, if you're fired, you're not going to get much. So the buyouts are crazy. There's a lot of agents who are outsmarting a
Yep.
lot of these
Jimmy
academia.
Sexton. Jimmy Sexton runs the sport. We thought everybody thinks Greg Sankey runs the sport. Nope. Jimmy Sexton runs the sport. I think that's pretty clear. All right, Tom. We don't have a lot of time left. I wanted to ask you a couple of things. The teams we cover, the Huskers play the Minnesota Golden Gophers. Are they the
Yep,
Golden
Friday
Gophers
night.
or just the Gophers? Are they Golden?
Gophers.
Just the Gophers.
Well, their mascot is called Goldie, so it could go either way.
Okay, either way. The Gophers. The Sooners play at South Carolina, one of the all-time, Oklahoma at South Carolina, one of the all-time tradition-rich series in college football history. It's the second meeting. The first was last year in Norman. Help the newcomers to the SEC, like me, does this, are we supposed to be thrilled about these new rivalries and does it wear off, in other words? I mean, South Carolina, Minnesota, frankly, they're pretty similar programs historically. It's sort of cool. I'm going to go see a football game in Columbia, South Carolina for the first time. But when they play Alabama, sure, Thor Parade. But when they play South Carolina, does that get old? And do you ever sit around when Minnesota week and think, man, I wish the Huskers were playing Missouri today, or I wish the Huskers were playing Kansas State or Oklahoma State or Colorado? Is
Well,
it?
yes, I do, but there's some other trips where I do that. This is my favorite trip in the Big Ten. I love
Oh.
going up to Minneapolis. We drive. When my daughters were high school, middle school age, we used to all go up as a family and stay at the Mall of America, make
Oh, that'd
a
be
weekend of
fun.
it. And it's a great campus, a great football stadium. Not too, you know. It's probably Big 12 size, but it's just an incredible campus, right on the other side of the river of downtown Minneapolis. And it's a very cool trip, very cool. It's a good football. It's Minnesota's always 8-4 type of thing, and Nebraska's trying to get there. But as far as a rivalry, yeah. Not really. They have a. This is one of the few organic trophy games. In fact, Nebraska has a couple trophy games.
Oh, they got a trophy for this one?
Well, Nebraska has a trophy for Iowa, which they've never seen because they never win the game. There's a trophy when they play Wisconsin. They've never seen that one either. But this one is the Broken Bits of Chair Trophy. It's a parody of I guess one year Bo Pelini threw a chair in the locker room and he broke the chair into bits, and so they're calling this the broken bit. It's on Twitter. You can see it, but they really do a good job. They have they've used this trophy to go raise money from both schools for Minneapolis Children's Hospital.
Good.
And the Team Jack Hoffman Foundation here in Nebraska for about pediatric brain cancer. So it's really a worthwhile thing. And it's a lot of fun, and they do a good job with this. There's actually a trophy of this chair that's kind of broken up on a stand that they give to the winner. But neither school is really sanctioned it or acknowledged it, but it's one of these fun things that
Okay.
happens. So but
Well,
otherwise it's PJ Fleck and Scott Frost hated each other. PJ Fleck and Matt Rhule are almost best friends. So
let me in turn give you an update on trivia about South Carolina football and this very Saturday. Last Saturday, the world knows the Sooners played in the middle of the Texas State Fair. This Saturday, Oklahoma is not playing in the middle of the South Carolina State Fair, but they're playing right next door. The State Fair of South Carolina and Williams-Brice Stadium share a parking lot
Oh
that
my goodness.
separates them. So, 2 straight years, the Sooners are going to be part of State Fair festivities. Of course, the State Fair in South Carolina is not quite as massive as the State Fair of Texas. Imagine that.
And
It's
wasn't
an old-fashioned state fair that, Judy Garland would have made a movie about. So the
well.
Sooners are going to get 8-day span. They're going to be hit 2 state fairs. It's one of those things I didn't know anything about until OU joined the SEC. It's sort of cool. Here's my problem. I don't mind. I mean, who cares what I think about OU joining the SEC or Nebraska joining the Big Ten? But the thing we miss is, with the expanded conference schedules and the dumbing down of non-conference schedules, I want to see OU play at Minnesota. I want to see Nebraska get to go to South Carolina. I want to see these teams eventually in a lifetime play virtually everybody. And we're not going to see that. The non-conference tour is going to be minimal going forward, and that's something I regret.
I think there's a good chance though that TV will put together an SEC Big Ten challenge, so you may get your wish.
Oh, that'd be fun. That'd be
And
fun.
if that happens, I want Nebraska to go to LSU. That's a great series that has never happened. So, but now tell me if I'm wrong. Was Shane Beamer used to be at OU?
Yeah, he was on Lincoln's staff, Lincoln Riley's staff, and very popular. I still maintain.
Venables is well known in the state of South Carolina.
Yeah, he's not, I guess, I assume he's public enemy number two. All those years, Clemson was beating South Carolina. But I got two things to say about your Nebraska LSU deal. One is, any chance if they put together a challenge series, they'd just say, "Hey, Big Reds, now's the time. Let's get back together annually."
Well,
What do you think?
if we're going to do it, I want to do it every year.
Yeah, me
Yes. If
too.
we're going to
I'm with
do
you.
it, let's do it right.
And
And
guess what? Guess what? The Huskers have now, Tom. The Sooners don't have. We don't have a Thanksgiving weekend rival for Oklahoma now.
right.
You
Why
got the
don't they
Iowa
do it?
Hawkeyes for that trophy that you didn't
Yeah,
name, but they got a trophy.
I'd be happy to trade that. I don't know if that series would be that late in the season. I think it. I've always thought a big rivalry game would be not OU Texas, but Missouri KU or one of these. It should be the opener. Imagine
Oh,
starting
that'd
the
be fun.
season with a classic rivalry.
Yeah. Start on Thursday, play about 2 or 3 games Thursday, 2 or 3 Friday, play 2 or 3 Sunday. All right, I'll leave you with this. Nebraska LSU. Nebraska LSU football game taught me some football at a very early age. 1970 Huskers in the Orange Bowl. I think it was the Orange Bowl, playing LSU. When the Huskers are the national champs, I don't remember much about the game. Nebraska won a close one. But in that game, I think it was late, but maybe not. I was 9 years old. But at one point, Nebraska's trying to score from the 1 yard line. Jerry Tagge runs a quarterback sneak. He gets stacked up on the line. But as he's leaning into the line, he doesn't go low. He sort of goes high. And while they're stoning him there, he reaches the ball across the goal line. And the ref says touchdown. I said, "What's he doing, Dad? He's not even in the end zone." My dad said, "It crossed the plane of the goal line. It's a touchdown." I never knew that until the Huskers, Louisiana State that night with Jerry Tagge. So appreciate it, Jerry Tagge. Thanks, Nebraska. You're one of the people that taught me the rules of football so
Love
many
it. I
years
love
ago.
it.
So that was good stuff. All right, Tom. Well, this is fun. Next week, we will convene again for the Tom and Barry Show to discuss the latest firing of some great coach, a very successful coach in America. I don't
that?
know. Hugh Freeze, Billy Napier. I don't know. For all I know, they might fire Kirby Smart if he loses to Ole Miss. Anything's possible in this crazy world of college football. I'm Barry Trammell. Check me out at the Tulsa World. He's Tom Chattel. Check him out at the Omaha World Herald. He's omaha.com. I'm tulsaworld.com. We'll talk to you next week on the Tom and Barry Show.